Welcome to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover, Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cammie Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here. Each day during this virtual summit, you will learn tips and tools from our world-class experts on all things related to dating and attraction. This wisdom will help you date and relate with unshakable confidence and become a woman who can inspire a great love. We are standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love, your ultimate love life makeover. So I'm really pleased to introduce my next guest expert, Kim Seltzer, who will be talking today on the topic, how to use a makeover to attract love. So if you're seeking to create your ultimate love life makeover, then a great place to start is with a literal makeover, looking at your style, your wardrobe, the overall way that you're presenting yourself out in the world as you're dating. So Kim is here to support you to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward, looking and feeling your best. So I'm super excited about this. But before we get started, I want to tell you a little bit more about Kim. So with a vat of knowledge and experience as a therapist, certified style coach, dating coach, and matchmaker, Kim Seltzer has helped hundreds of people find lasting love and connection and build valuable relationships using her unique confidence makeover process. Using an outside-in approach, Kim has changed hundreds of lives by changing their style, emotional and social intelligence using her signature formula, the charisma quotient, working on body language, first impressions, image and messaging, and how it impacts attraction. This Los Angeles-based expert travels the country helping people discover confidence, charisma, and connection as a speaker at national matchmaking conferences, eHarmony, Neutrogena, and iDate, as well as her own annual conference series for men and women, The Makeover Blueprint. Kim is also a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and DigitalRomance.com, with appearances in Cosmopolitan, Redbook, Reader's Digest, Ask Men, Fox News Magazine, Yahoo Shine, and the Washington Examiner, among a myriad of other publications. You can also find Kim as a frequent co-host on the podcast, The Art of Charm, with Jordan Harbinger, as well as past episodes on the traveling live dating show, The Great Love Debate, and in her new cable reality dating show, The Romance. And also you can listen to her now on her new podcast, The Charisma Quotient. So I am so excited to welcome you, Kim. Hi.
Hi. That was a mouthful. I always laugh when I hear my bio being played back. because we were kind of talking about this before. I mean, really, when I think about my life and the experience that I have, the reason why I'm so passionate about doing what I do is really my own story, my own transformation. And that's why I'm so stoked about helping people, because I went through it. And look, we're always our own best teachers, right? So that's where I started.
Well, you honestly are the best person to be talking about this topic, obviously, from your
background. I know, the makeover.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, can you give us a little background? How is it that you came to do this work?
Well, like I said, I mean, it's funny because if anybody knew me about like 16 years ago, you would not have recognized me because I was from Chicago. I was married at the time and I had a couple kids and a dog in the picket fence, you know, as the fairy tale has it. And we picked up and we moved here to La La Land. And I always joke, we did what all the other people here did, and that is get a divorce. And obviously there were other issues, right, going on in this little fairy tale. But, you know, that's where the record stopped. And that is when my life completely changed as I knew it. And I gotta say, it was a really, really tough time in my life. It was a very dark period. And you know when there's like a fork in the road ahead of you and you could go one way or you could go the other? Well, I was heading down that really dark path. And to reflect that, if you saw me back then, I was wearing all black. Oh. That was my black period, so to speak. I wore the oversized, you know, mommy clothes. I had the Birkenstocks, the nursing bras, and mind you, I was not pregnant any longer, but I was stuck. I was completely stuck, and I didn't know how to get out of my own way. And I will tell you, at the time, I had a great support system. I went to, you know, counseling and therapy, and I was talking, and I mean, I really was doing that inside work.
Yeah.
And I still couldn't get past it. And so one day, I'll never forget it, I looked in the mirror. This is this that pivotal moment. And I hated what I saw. I mean, I saw this like sad, frumpy girl, and nothing fit me at that time because I lost all this weight. I didn't even know it at the time until I just woke up and I like, oh my God, I need to get new clothes.
Yeah.
So I go shopping. This is where it starts. And what do? In the store? I pull all the things that I normally do, and that is black. And they probably were three sizes too big still. And I pull it into the dressing room and I get a knock on the door as I'm changing my clothes. And it's this personal shopper. And she said, excuse me, ma'am, I was wondering if you wanted to try on this. And she holds up this red dress.
Ooh.
Red. Okay, it looks red. And it looked like three sizes too small. And I said, that is really sweet of you, but that is not my size, and that is so not my color. And she said, honey, that is your size, and that is your color.
Oh.
And so I kind of like crinkled my nose, and I grabbed it, and I begrudgingly like slipped it on, and I twirled around like Cinderella, and I looked in the mirror, and it was like I was in shock again, but for a different reason. That woman was right. Oh. But I had not seen myself in so long that it literally jolted me. And it was something like this visceral experience where, you know, I had to see myself differently in order to get out of my own way. And this is what I see with my clients over and over and over again. Like, you can do all this good inside work, but when the outside doesn't, you know, like reflect that, and you don't really believe it. It wasn't until I saw myself as that, you know, kind of princess, if you will, I started believing it. So I bought that costume that day, and I call it a costume because, you know, it took a while until I became that character, that new girl. And I walked out into the world, and like my life changed. I started, you know, getting a new career, and I was really passionate about doing this for other people because I realized there's this symbiotic relationship between the outer and the inner.
Mm.
And I literally like made over my life that day, literally. And I see this over and over again with my clients when they, you know, do this whole makeover process, and it really helps with their confidence. But it's seeing yourself differently is what is so powerful. And then that allows people to put, you know, their life into action and change. That's why I did. That's why I really have that passion come from.
This is great. It's like your fairy godmother was in the dressing room that day, bringing you that red dress, you know?
You say that because sometimes I like call myself a fairy godmother, like to other people with my magic wand. And when I do talks, I actually bring on stage.
Oh, you do.
That's so funny that you said that, because it is. And it sounds almost like, well, how can like a pair of shoes or a red lipstick change your life? Well, I'm here to tell you that it can. And I know that we're going to get into that, but it's funny that you said that.
Yeah. Well, and also just the fact that, you know, so you said sometimes we can't see ourselves, and when we're in that place, having somebody to give us this option, and we're sort of like, well, that's not really me. Like, it's nothing that we would have chosen for ourselves in that moment yet, but taking somebody to take our hand and be like, I think this is going to be really good for you. Why don't you just try it? So I love that you've now taken that on and you're doing that for other women.
Well, here's the thing. No one can see themselves, right? And we, what we see in the mirror is different than what other people see. And I see this a lot with my clients. In fact, even when I put on new clothes, it's not until I take pictures of them, because even in the mirror,
so true.
I'm not seeing it, right?
That's
and then
true.
I said, look, you know, and I show them a picture, and then they almost – there's this jolting that happens, like, oh, I guess I do look good, you know, but it's teaching people the why. You know, a lot of times you put on clothes or, you know, something that's different for you and you don't understand why it's working or why it's working against you. So there's a lot of science to your clothes. And that's what I love teaching people, because it takes the emotions out of it a lot of times, when you know your body type, when you know your colors, when you know what clothes men like, which is different than dressing for each other, which we do all the time. So that's a whole other topic. But yeah, no, it's a really like transformative and powerful experience.
Oh, this is fantastic. Well, you have a unique approach to helping people. So we talked a little bit about this with the style and the makeovers. And so how do you combine all of your different gifts to help people with the therapy and the coaching and the image consulting?
Yeah, you know, it sounds like almost a mouthful, but really, over the years, I've collected these skills and put them in my basket. And I find that really looking at people holistically, and I almost call myself a detective these days. It's like figuring out where the holes are, you know, in the way that you, you know, your body language, what is that communicating, the way that you're presenting in your clothes, and then also the what's going on inside, the way you're expressing yourself, and then how you're managing interpersonal relationships. It's all intertwined. So for me, I can't work with one without the other, because that's the true makeover, the transformation. But I guess the best way to describe my process is to tell you a story about one of my clients. And this is, I would say, one of the more like profound makeovers. It's really heartwarming. So there's this woman who I worked with, it was a couple months ago, and she called me at her wit's end. She was like, you know what? I've been divorced for 25 years. Yeah. I haven't dated at all. I sit in my cubicle at work. I go home. I watch TV, and this has been my life. And she raised her kids, and she was busy raising her kids. And then fast forward, her life has kind of passed her by, and she got to that point. And usually when people come to me, they're at that point where they need that change. You know, something has hit them. So I had her do a whole, like, I mean, obviously I have different packages, but she did the whole shebang. So she came in and she did the coaching, the shopping, the therapy, the photo shoot, and the wing girl session, meaning going out and doing some flirting.
How fun.
But what was so interesting is that when I always like sit down and I do an assessment, and this is the therapist in me, and try to figure out people's stories and journeys up until now and connect what's going on with them now that's connected to some things that happened in the past. Because I do believe that our past is connected to our future and the choices we make, the patterns that get created. I know you teach this stuff too, but how that gets played out is so fascinating, you know, when you see it in front of you. And so she came, and as we're doing the assessment, I'm realizing how much power she's giving away just by the way she's talking. And she's like constantly apologizing. And, you know, like there was all these things she was doing. And so I was kind of making her aware of that as we're working together. And then it was time to go shopping. And she said, I have something to tell you. I said, what's that? She said, I can't look in the mirror. So I just wanted to tell you. I said, what do you mean you can't look in the mirror? She said, I can't look in the mirror. I just don't like the way I look. And I don't even know what I'm going to do. I said, totally cool. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here with you. And you know, this is the thing, this is the difference between therapy and this process where we're working in time and using this visceral approach, is that I could have sat there in therapy and say, no, well, let's talk about that. And let's talk about the body image issues that you have growing up. But instead I took her hand and I pushed her through the door of the department store. And as she's walking through, she's getting teary eyed. She's looking at the mannequins. She's getting overwhelmed. I said, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to put on this. And I had her put on this like really kind of cool leather jacket. And then I had her slip on a pair of red boots.
How fun.
And I said, I want you to just turn around, look in the mirror for 5 seconds. That's all I ask. And so she twirled around and she looked in the mirror and she stood there for more than 5 seconds. And the tears started like falling down her cheek. but it was tears of joy. And she said, Kim, I've never seen myself so beautiful in my life. And now, like, we're both crying. It was like this moment. And I kid you not, it was that moment that completely changed this woman's life. And from there, I think I created a monster because we were, and we were pulling things left and right. This is a woman who, like, hated shopping, hated her body. She started changing with the door open. She was skipping through the store. We got amazing, like, dresses and sexy clothes that she felt really good in. Then we had the photo shoot, which was even more transformative, seeing herself as this powerful feminine woman in those photos, to the flirting and meeting all these people as we're out and about, and guys really talking to her. This one guy she met was, like, all over her. She couldn't believe it. So she went back home, and, you know, then she said, Kim, I just want to thank you. I, like, put up my profile, my new pictures. I was dating up a storm, and I'm happy to say that I'm dating this guy. And that guy became her boyfriend, and he was a great guy. That's the transformation, right? Like, that's the makeover. But it started with that jacket and the boots in the mirror.
But it's interesting because, you know, when we think of a makeover, we think of, all right, well, I'm just gonna have a new dress or a new this or a new that. But there's more than that, because you can take the outer, but if you don't have that shift with the inner, then you're still stepping out into life with all of that stuff that's messing things up. But it also sounds like it doesn't have to be this long, drawn out process. I mean, she had a really huge shift.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, I often have phone coaching sessions after, and this is where I start synthesizing it all and helping people. I'm all about action. I tell people, it's like, you know, I'm like, don't tell me, show me is kind of more my philosophy, because I know that's what worked for me. Like, there was no way I could have gotten out of my own way had I not put myself into action, where I started with that red dress, but then, you know, getting a new business, networking, putting myself into action. And that's really what I help people do. So, you know, you mentioned the charisma quotient in my bio. That's really kind of my secret sauce, my formula, if you will, because I look at three components when I'm working with people. And these are the, like, secret ingredients, if you will, of charisma, I believe. It's looking at somebody's style intelligence, which I made up because it went along with the two other ones. But no, it's yourself, your style, your wardrobe, your body language. The second is emotional intelligence, which is a big thing right now, right? Like, there's a lot of movement in the way, and I know you teach some of this stuff too, the way we manage our feelings and we express ourselves, so huge in terms of, you know, breaking old patterns and creating new ones by showing up and having, like, men earn you by offering things, by offering yourself, setting boundaries. And then the third is social intelligence. And that's how we flirt, how we interact with men, and, you know, what we're communicating even with our bodies. So, you know, those are the three areas I usually work in. And what's exciting to me about this stuff, this stuff can be learned. You know, a lot of women are like, oh, I'm too old, or, you know, it doesn't matter what age. I've worked with 20 all the way up to, like, 68 or 70. It doesn't matter. It's more about changing patterns and doing things differently than you normally do. And it takes work and it's uncomfortable, but that's when you change.
Yes. Yes. And the shift, when the shift happens, as you said, the door is wide open and so much can start to happen. So with image and charisma and everything that we're talking about, why is this important when it comes to attracting love?
Yeah, because this is what I found over the years. It's like, charisma is a magnetism that draws people to you, right? And when people are hiding in various ways and they're not putting themselves out there, or they're creating connection with people, that is what makes it so hard to find that right partner for you. Or you end up attracting lopsided relationships. So what I mean by that is, if you're always the quiet girl and you're not putting yourself out there or putting your needs, you know, in front of others, then you're going to attract those relationships where, guess what? Your needs are not met. or you have the narcissist, you have the man children, you have the emotionally unavailable people chiming in your energy field. And, you know, I get this a lot. And I say to the women, you know, look, these guys are going to continue walking on this earth for as long as we live. We can't change other people. We can't change the guys. All we can do is look at what we're doing to attract that and change patterns. So that's why, again, charisma excites me, is that if you look at the research, it is something that you learn. No one is born with charisma. People who are charismatic and are able to connect with people had some role models along the way or an environment that shaped them. And so I love providing people tools to create that so that they gain that confidence. You know, that's what's attractive. It's being so comfortable with who you are and just knowing what you want. And that's really what helps people find love. And the love that is on more equal ground, I should say.
Thanks for saying that this is something that can be learned. You know, I was just talking to somebody the other day, and she's struggling with some of this. And she was saying, well, but I don't know if that's just the way I am. And I was saying, you know what? No, this can be worked on and this can be shifted. So thanks for reiterating that for everybody listening who might be feeling like that. Well, I don't know. That might not be me. I'm just shy. It's just the way I always have been. So
yes. And I get that a lot too. There's a woman that I was working with, and she's a doll, and it's been amazing to watch her growth. And, you know, usually we have that mantra, you know, like, oh, I'm just shy, like even that label, because it's been an ascribed role since, you know, you were younger. And that was either put on you from yourself or other people. And like this woman, she came from Indian descent. And, you know, in that culture, it was, you know, it was not okay to express feelings. What got reinforced was success. And that's how love was expressed. And so she never learned how to express herself, because that wasn't what she was supposed to do. So, but then, you know, fast forward to adulthood, she was finding it harder and harder to find love because she couldn't express herself. And she chalked it up to just being that shy girl. I said, you're not shy. I see what you're capable of. You know, there's parts, but here's the thing. I define like confidence and shyness, you know, it has to do with exposure and experience. You know, like there's always one area in a person's life where they don't feel shy. They feel more confident. They're able to like fulfill a role of somehow. Why? Because they've had practice, they've had exposure. So when someone comes to me and says a statement like you just said, or oh, I'm just not a confident person, I kind of debunk that myth. And I say, well, maybe in this area of your life, you're not feeling that way, but that means you just need to gain more experience. And so then that's part of this process that I do people. Cause a lot of my homework assignments that I give people are putting them in action. Like if they don't think they're good at flirting, you better believe I might say, you know, every Wednesday I want you to go to Whole Foods and I want you to smile and make eye contact with at least five guys for 5 weeks. You know, it's putting yourself in those situations over and over again where it's not so scary anymore. And that builds confidence.
I'm going to the grocery store. That's so easy. I mean, we're there all the time.
Oh my God.
What a great place to practice.
I take my clients there all the time. In fact, here, well, you're in LA, the Whole Foods in Venice, if anyone's.
Oh yeah.
It was named as one of the number one pickup places.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's great.
Totally. And so like just going there and navigating that, you know, most people go there and they're target specific on just getting groceries. They don't realize, my God, there's a sea of single people just swarming around. And if you just open up your eyes and you kind of, you know, release the tunnel vision, you can see a lot and you can, there's just opportunity everywhere. You just got to open your eyes.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And when it comes to making a great first impression, what makes a great first impression? And what are the elements of a sexy and attractive dating image?
Well, you know, when you look at research, and this isn't just me talking, they say it takes 30 seconds to make a great first impression. And now with Tinder and Bumble, come on, it's way quicker than 30 seconds. right? And but what happens in the brain, it's interesting, and they did studies on this, is that people make judgments and assumptions based on two things. First being is your clothes, right? It's the attire that you're wearing. This is why I like to start with the clothes in your presentation, because it can make or break the way that people are seeing you and viewing you. And then the second thing is your attitude. So it's your mood. It's what's written on your face. I always joke, and I talk about this all the time. I mean, there's this epidemic with women right now with the resting bitch face. This is real. This is...
I haven't heard that.
Oh, yeah. No, this is real. It's an epidemic. It's, you know, I am trying to eradicate it one woman at a time, but I can't reach everybody. So that's why I love these summits, so I can really help people. It's amazing how just getting that serious look off your face and smiling can help you be more approachable to men. Look, I actually, truth be told, I coach just as many men as I do women. So I get to hear both sides of the coin here. And they all tell me the same thing. They said, what's with all these women? Like, they're so serious. They're frowning. They're, you know, and that's not sexy. Like, no guy is going to approach a girl who looks like mean or sad, you know. And I know this sounds almost elementary, but I mean, how cool is that if you knew that all you had to do was like pay attention to some of the clothes that you're wearing and put a smile on your face? I mean, there's not too many things that get that instant result, right?
Right.
And from there, it can snowball. So, you know, that would be the first and foremost thing to think about, is looking at those two elements. Like, are you putting out a sexy dating image with your clothes? And if you're not thinking about what men like and you're just kind of throwing on things that you like, but is it serving you? Are you marketing yourself in a way as a sexy, dateable woman? And this is one of my specialties, because a lot of times women, you know, they don't think about it, and they'll just put a bunch of flowers, stuff and patterns on their body, and they're like, oh, well, this is pretty. I'm like, yeah, but that's not what men like.
Well, say a little more about that. What do men like?
So, I could go on and
thinking about.
Yeah. Okay. So
let's say it's a first date.
Yes. Yes.
What do men like? What should a woman think about? Okay. You said no flowers, patterns. Like, what?
No flowers and patterns. They hate it. It's so funny, because a lot of women fight me on this. And I even did a poll on Facebook just to prove everybody. And I said, how many men, you know, love patterns? And 92% came back and said they hate patterns. So it's interesting. Well, what they say to me is that, you know, they don't like all this busyness going on, and a lot of it's too much. And to be honest, especially when it comes to like your online photos, mm-hmm. when you have patterns and loud colors, it actually widens you. And so it's not as flattering in the camera. So I always say, like, when in doubt, wear solids and something that's more form fitting. They want to see your body. You don't have to be like Marilyn Monroe or falling out of a dress. Like, that's not even what they like. They just want to see your figure. They want to see how you own your body, and to each his own. You know, I'm not a cookie cutter stylist and say, oh, just put this on, you'll look fabulous. Like, again, I really pay attention to people's body type, meaning like how they're proportioned, mm-hmm. structure, and teach them what elements in clothes work for them and not against them. So they're putting themselves together in a way that really showcases their body. So that's the first thing that I tell women is, you know, solids are usually good. Second thing, hands down, a dress.
A dress.
A dress. Can hear women I can see women rolling their eyes, and I can hear them like, oh, sighing. Okay, so here's what I'll say about dresses. Again, I've surveyed this. I've asked almost every man I know when I did the Great Love Debate and I traveled all over. I would like survey the audience. Every man I know loves a woman in a dress.
Yes.
Why? Because it connotates femininity. It's something mm-hmm. they don't wear. They enjoy it. You also walk differently in a dress. You move differently in a dress. There's a sensuality about it. Like, think about it. When you're in a pair of sweats versus a dress, your body posture is even different. And so, you know, a lot of women say, well, dresses aren't me, or I live in a cold climate and I get cold all the time. I heard every excuse under the sun, but the truth is there's a dress for every body, for every city. Mm-hmm. And it's knowing kind of what works for you. And to be honest, it's easier. It's an easier thing to throw on for a first date. You don't have to like mix and match, you know, think about it.
That's true.
The right dress, you know, and that speaks to you. And it doesn't have to be this like Chanel stiff dress. That's not even what they're looking for. Something that's comfortable and casual, but cool and sexy that just feels good on you. They also, you know, they love an understated kind of elegance, you know, a little bit of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not giving all away. It's almost like having a dress that goes all the way up and then you turn around, there's like a dip in the back, you know,
yes.
Like it's that peekaboo effect. And, you know, yes. It's like foreplay, you know,
yeah.
They want to see what else is going on rather than just like all tight, like Britney Spears, sorry, Britney, kind of like, you know, dressing like that, that sends a different message. Right. So, there are a lot more secrets that I could go on and on about, but I'd say those are like the top ones that I hear, you know. And but the, more importantly, I think just as a general thing that they find sexy is confidence. When a woman has that body confidence, when she knows what she has, that is hot to a guy. And it's not about the shape. It's not about the weight. It's not about the ethnicity, the size. It's about how you own it, because when you love you, so will the man.
Oh,
every single time.
That's great. When you love you, so will the man. So I know you have a formula or a magic formula for attraction. So what is that?
I do. So, and this is a good way of like thinking about how to start getting your sexy on, start thinking about attraction. And it's really simple. I call it the three F's. It's not the F you think about. However, if you do these three things, you never know. And it's simple. The first being having fun. Oh my God, we are getting so serious. And especially women, as we get more powerful in the workforce, we have such busy lives. We are carrying a lot of masculine energy. We are taskmasters now. I mean, more than any other generation before us. And we're forgetting to have fun. We're forgetting, right? And so we're just so like, our energy is so like, let's get to the next thing now. And I think that's across the board. I mean, I think men too, but as women, we're forgetting how to be playful and receive. You know, one of the things I tell people to do, and it's kind of, again, like a prescription I give all my clients, is to take an improv class. I love improv. Well, I have an improv background, of course. So that's why I love it. But it really helps you get out of your head. It helps you be spontaneous, fun, silly, learning to laugh about yourself, like just not taking yourself so seriously. Because look, we like that when a man's like that, right? Like we
yes.
A man's playful and he's funny and boyish. They like that in us too. So that's the first F. Second F is fashion, of course. And so we talked a little bit about that. And what I'll say is, besides paying attention to what men like and getting a dating image, know the three C's. Know your cut, know the colors that work for you, and know what clothes make you feel confident. Because every woman can look in her closet, and I bet you can pick out that one outfit you always pull if you have an event tomorrow.
That dress, yeah.
That dress or that outfit. But then figure out what elements are in that outfit that make it work for you. You know, is it, have you get reinforced in it? Do you like the color? And once you figure those things out, get more of that. So it's fun really like tweaking your wardrobe, and it doesn't have to mean breaking the bank and doing a whole like wardrobe upload. It could be starting with, okay, you know what? Today I'm going to try a red lipstick and just see if like someone who's used to hiding in black and just wear red lipstick, see what that feels like. Notice the attention you get. I did that with a woman once, and that was her first homework assignment. I said, she was in beige and black and things that just were not fitting her. And I said, I just want you to buy a red lipstick and wear it for a week and report back to me. And she's like,
that's a great homework assignment.
Yeah. I mean, like, my hand is kind of fun. I'll just admit. So she's like, okay. So she did, she got it. And then a week later she calls me. She said, oh my God, Kim, I can't believe that magic red bullet, what that did. I said, what? She said, well, I wore it and I was on the train and like these guys just started talking to me out of nowhere. I said, oh, really?
Uh-huh.
And then I started talking back. And, you know, again, it's that interplay between the reinforcement you get from the output and then the input. And then it works with each other. Like this is the synthesis of all of this that we're talking about. So again, like it can be really simple, but you know, just pay attention to some of those things when it comes to fashion. The third F I will say is flirting. Now we could do a whole video on flirting.
Yes.
Right. And here's what I'll say about this. And I'll try to keep it short because I know we're running out of time. If you look at the definition of flirting, flirting is to behave as though you are attracted to someone without the serious intention of an outcome.
Which is fun. That sounds fun.
It's fun. Like that that last part is probably the most important, without the serious intention of an outcome. Because that is one of the biggest reasons why a lot of women have excuses around flirting is that they get attached to the outcome.
Yes.
Right? Like, oh, I'm not attracted to him. Oh, I don't want to give him the wrong impression. Oh, I want him to like me for my brains, not just my body. Like, I've heard them all. Like, I have a list of 20 excuses. But the truth is, if you looked at flirting as not something as scary and highly sexualized, but it was more about giving smoke signals to the guy that you are open for business to just talking to him and to create the magnetism that I talk about in charisma that just draws men to you, then you get to choose who you want to move on with, right? You have the power to do that. But if you shut yourself off or you get too target specific, you're missing opportunity. And I see this when I'm coaching with women all the time. And, you know, a lot of times when I am out coaching with women, they meet men that they end up dating. Why? Because not because I planted these guys, because I don't know that many guys. But it's because they're creating that energy and they're letting go of the outcome. And that's what just opportunity, you know, knocks on the door when that happens. So
that's great.
Those are my three F's.
I love those. Thank you. Fun, fashion, flirting.
Yes.
And releasing expectation.
Yes.
Powerful. So if a woman is ready to go out there and start dating, you help people to develop a dating plan so that they can meet people on their own. So can you tell us about that? And what are some of the best ways to meet men? And how can people be their own matchmaker in this way?
Yeah, no, I love doing this for people. You know, I used to do matchmaking for a very long time. And what was interesting for me, and this is why I developed this kind of system, is the same thing kept happening over and over again. You know, I would match people and the same patterns that would happen outside the office or before they joined the service kept happening. So it's like, there was no like magic fairy dust in that office, you know, and the people that I would match people with, you know, wasn't like those people were different than anyone that was outside that office. What it said to me is that, you know, people can really create opportunities on their own and they need to diversify their dating portfolio, just like a financial portfolio, right? You have to diversify in order to increase your chances for success. If you do just one thing and expect a result, you're not going to get it. In fact, you're going to have a high burnout. So for instance, I find that women who just do the app dating,
yes,
and the online dating, they burn out. And it becomes this numbing effect, I call it. I don't know, I'm sure you see this too. Like where people are just like swiping and they're numbing out.
Yeah, because it's like the online candy store. Like, oh, there's another one where that came from.
Yeah, and there's almost this like flat affect that's happening with people. And then when they go on the dates, it's almost becoming robotic, where there's these Q&A sessions that are happening and people, it becomes this interview process. Mm-hmm. So to round that out, and I'm not knocking online, I think there's a wonderful opportunity to meet lots and lots of people if it's used in the right way and not, it's not the end all be all, but you gotta round it out with in-person experience. Because when you do that, then the online dating becomes so much more real and authentic, and you have a greater chance of meeting someone that way. So that's the one thing, is I look at people's like dating portfolio, if you will, and I see what's missing. What aren't they doing yet? The second thing is I have them list all their hobbies and all their passions, and I have them start doing their social research on what, you know, what can they get involved in that has to do with what they like, so that mm-hmm. they know like-minded people and get out of the house. You know, you're not, Prince Charming is not gonna knock on your door and gone. You know, if you're out of college, and I mean, there may be some college people listening to this, but if once you're out, the infrastructure as you know it to your social life is gone. So you right. have to, right? Like you have to recreate that for yourself. And it takes work and it could be a little daunting, but that's when you're going to start seeing traction. And I promise, like everybody I put on this plan, it's like, you know, like a weight loss plan or, you know, a personal training plan. When you start doing it and you start filling out your social calendar, you will get traction. But you do have to have someone like me or Cami or anyone holding you accountable for that, because otherwise you'll just go back into your little comfy cocoon and not go out. So the other thing I would say is just like the organic time is really important. So besides getting involved in things and doing the online, go out, like meet people in the grocery stores, like we were talking about, you know, make a point of having some wing girl sessions for yourself, and make sure that you have a good set of wing girls to go out with, because that can also make or break interaction. No guy is going to approach a bunch of negative Nellies sitting in a corner of the bar and talking about how guys suck. And I see this. No, I see this all the time, right? And there's this negativity that just like oozes from, and then you rub off on each other. So if you're going to go out, I suggest not more than one or two girls, and make sure it's a positive person, a fun person where you guys can lift each other up, sit at the bar together, don't sit at the table, and have fun. This is what I teach. So those are just a few tips. I mean, obviously there's a lot more, but I think if you just even try those elements, you can get some traction.
And what do you think about if a wing girl's not available?
Yeah.
What do you think about going out on your own?
Oh, love it. Oh, I love it. And I encourage it. But, and here's the but, there's a time and a place to do that. So like a woman sitting at a bar at 10 o'clock at night, that's not a good message. Yeah. Rather though, going, I love happy hour, like from 5 to 7 is a great time to go, like right after work, have an appetizer. If you don't drink, just have a club soda. It's not even about the drinks. Like people get attached to bars as like, oh, but I don't drink.
Right.
That's not the point. It's just a point where people are and socialize. Mm-hmm. The other thing is you want to make sure that you're thinking of other ways of going out by yourself. So it doesn't have to be just the bar or restaurant. It can be the farmer's market. It can be the grocery store. It could be the coffee shop. But you have to be almost like intentional in the way that you go out until it becomes more natural. So you're like, okay, like make a game for yourself. I'm going to go out by myself for like a half hour, and I'm going to try to say as hi to as many people as I can, you know, and then you keep upping the ante for yourself. So yeah, I encourage people to go out by themselves as long as it's, you know, the right place and time.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for stipulating that. I think you're right. The time is important. So the happy hour is fun, but not so much late at night. That makes a lot of sense about when and where. Well, I'm just watching the time and I want to respect yours. So are there any last bits that you want to give, any last tips to wrap up about this topic, about how to use a makeover to attract love?
You know, I'll just say, and I kind of started saying this when we were talking about the 3 F's, small wins add up to the bigger win. Right. And I think it can be dating in itself, or gaining confidence, or those big words that you hear, can be so daunting and so overwhelming. People don't know where to start. If you just start small, and like even using those three F's, where you maybe get a red lipstick, maybe take an improv class, maybe, you know, make eye contact with three guys tonight, that adds up to the bigger picture. It'll give you the confidence. It'll start building that charisma, and that confidence that I've been talking about will start happening for you. And that's where the magic happens. That's when you're going to get out of your own way and create new patterns for yourself.
Lovely. Thank you. I just wanted to comment on the improv class, because I've taken it myself.
Oh yeah.
And I remember taking acting class that I was saying, God, you know, even if someone doesn't want to be an actor, this is the best personal development class ever.
Ever.
Getting outside of yourself and having yourself be a little uncomfortable, but trying new things. So I love that idea.
It's so fun. And the shyest people, I like make do that, because it helps. It's like pushing the kid in the shallow end a little bit until they can swim. But yeah, like especially with self-expression and that playfulness, and like, and what I find so funny is that, you know, people who are scared of rejection or failure, it's so good for you, because you learn in improv that the more you fail, the funnier the scene is. Right? So it's like almost playing on your failures. And after a while, you just laugh at yourself and you learn to shake things off a lot more. So definitely.
Thank you. Well, Kim, I know we have just scratched the surface, and I know you have so much more to share, and that you have a free gift. So can you share with everybody what it is that you have for them?
Yes, I am excited to share. Well, the second F, the fashion, we were talking about body types and know what cut that works for your body type. This is crucial when it comes to getting like new clothes, new image, your makeover. And so I developed this body type guide that will help you measure yourself to know what body type you are. There are five body types. And here's the thing I want to say, it's like a little disclaimer. It has nothing to do with your weight. This is your bone structure. So you're going to measure across your shoulders, your waist, your hips, and that simply will determine your body type. And then in that guide, I go over what cuts flatter that body type and what cuts to stay away from. And if you download it, I also give a discount to my virtual makeover, which is super fun. It's like this hour session like we're doing right now. And I teach people about, you know, their outfits, and I share my screen and I pick out outfits for them and the brands that they should be looking for. And it gives you a blueprint to build your
wealth. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you so much for being here with us today. You had so much incredible information to share.
And oh, thanks for having
pleasure.
Me. You too. Like I said, we have to get together. I would love it.
Charisma
in person.
Thank you. And thank you all of you who are here with us, listening, watching. We appreciate having you with us for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. Be sure that you take advantage of Kim's free gift. This will be so helpful as you go about your own makeover. And once you do that, make sure that you check out our VIP package. You can learn more about it below. You can come back and listen to Kim's session as many times as you wish. You can also take advantage of all of the other speakers' content as much as you would like. You can check all of that out below, or you can go to ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. So once again, thank you so much for being with us. And we look forward to having you with us again for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody.